And this is David Duke, and this is the David Duke Internet Web Radio Broadcast, broadcasting to the entire world with news and information of vital importance to Europeans and people of European descent wherever they dwell. And again, this program is live. That's right, live. It's as if we had a 100-mile-high tower, or 100 kilometers, as you prefer, around the world, and 1 gigawatt of power. It's an amazing phenomena. This was created, in fact, by our European heritage, our European scientific heritage, the possibilities that we have now to reach entirely all over the world for a fraction of what it would have cost. In fact, it would have been impossible a few years ago. You could do shortwave, but as you know, shortwave reception is intermittent and affected greatly by atmospheric and other conditions. This is an amazing phenomena. Anywhere anyone has a computer hookup, an internet hookup, they can hear this program live, and there are people listening all over the world right now. There's a lot of news, and by the way, before I begin to go into some of the issues of the day, if you'd like to make a post or actually ask me a question or make a comment, you can do so directly by emailing me at info44@davidduke.com. That's our current email address that changes from time to time. You can always find that on the davidduke.com site or on the whitesivilrights.com site. And send me your comments, send me your question. I'll try to get to it today in today's program. Also, and even more effectively, because your email will be seen by many, many thousands of people all over the world, not your email, but your post, go to stormfront.org, the town hall section, and you can make a post there and have your comments not only read by myself, but by many thousands of people around the world. We have gone over now 1 million views on this thread. 1 million views. And ladies and gentlemen, I can promise you that is just the beginning, because our people are awakening. They are absolutely stirring all over the world. And I'm really amazed by how many people around the world who are not European are writing to me and endorsing my ideas and really supporting my idea that Europe should be preserved and America should be preserved and Australia and New Zealand and other white nations should be preserved just like their own nations should be preserved. And I've also obviously been very critical of the riots that have taken place in Europe, extremely critical. These riots are nothing more than massive hate crimes. Of course, the media doesn't label it this way, or Jewish supremacist media doesn't talk about hate crimes unless they're talking about white people's exercise of freedom of speech. That's what they call a hate crime these days. When you take a woman who's 50 years old, who's handicapped, and who's trying to flee this terror, and you set fire to her, if you're a gang of African immigrants in France, that's not a hate crime, you understand. That's just, I guess, good old-fashioned fun. Some sort of justified response to white racism, something of that nature. It's just incredible, ladies and gentlemen, the complete double standard that exists in the media and the government today. But people all over the world are listening, and I got a letter today, in fact, from a Muslim who said that he agrees with what I'm saying. He appreciates my actions against Jewish supremacism. He thinks and doesn't support the riots that have been taking place in Europe. And he thinks that Islamics and Arabic people should have their own nations, their own society, free of control of Israel and, of course, the United States. I understand that and I endorse that. I don't think America should have bases in 60 countries. And he's very positive. In fact, he wrote me, and he's so impressed by what I'm doing in my books. He said it's the best book he's ever read about the Jewish question, that he asked my permission if he could name his son with the name David Duke in his name. I think Muhammad David Duke something. It's interesting. And I told him, of course, he could, but that's not the issue. I would suggest that he names his child someone that's heroic with his own people, in his own heritage. He can do whatever he wants. He can name his child whatever he wants to name the child. But, I think that's true for all peoples. But I do respect him, and I'm very appreciative that he made such a nice gesture. And that's kind of interesting, too, because the media tries to portray me as a man who hates all the races, But somehow many people of other races and other religions other than my religion, my race, my heritage, they listen to my broadcasts, they read my material on the internet, they read my books, and they don't think I'm a hater at all. And in fact, I know that I'm not one. And it's so ironic how we have this double standard. Let me quote to you what somebody wrote to me, and it's a, kind of a nice writing. I posted it on the internet, and we can just call it Eurostaff. But it's a nice little piece, and I think it's very insightful of the absolute, complete hypocrisy going on right now in the world with these riots going on in France and other countries. It goes like this. Somehow, the media and government see no hate crime in the burning of a handicapped white woman by a hate-filled, crazed mob of African immigrants, but portray David Duke as a hate criminal who is guilty of hate crimes for trying to prevent such outrages as the burning of this woman. Readers, stop and consider. Last week, in the middle of race-driven anti-white riots across Europe, it was worldwide news when David Duke was branded a hate criminal by the media for an intellectual, nonviolent speech in Sweden warning Europe of the ultimate dangers of massive non-European immigration. A Swedish prosecutor who opposes free speech urged police to open an investigation to see if any of his words could be construed as a, quote, racial hate crime, unquote. A conviction would lock him up in prison for 5 years in each count. This affront to free speech and free expression was trumpeted around the world as justice for those who commit hate crimes. Contrast the accusation of a hate crime against David Duke for merely speaking out nonviolently and not hatefully as compared to the burning alive of a handicapped white woman by a crazed black mob. Quoting the Associated Press, a savage assault on a bus passenger highlighted the dangers of travel in Paris's Muslim-filled and impoverished outlying neighborhoods, where the violence has entered its second week. The African immigrant attackers doused the woman in her 50s and on crutches with an inflammable liquid and set her afire as she tried to get off a bus in the suburb of Severn Wednesday, judicial officials said. The bus had been forced to stop because of burning objects in its path. She was rescued by the driver and hospitalized with severe burns. Unquote. A middle-aged, handicapped white woman is purposefully doused with gasoline and set on fire by an African immigrant mob in a supreme act of unimaginable brutality. Now, has there been even one French or international article charging and condemning these savages with, quote, racial hatred and hate crimes? Has there been a single government official who has spoken out against the race hate of this brutal, vicious act and the race-driven violence raging on against white people all over France? If the victim would have been a black crippled woman set afire at the hands of white racists, imagine the outrage by media and politicians. Would you not have seen pictures of the poor black woman, heard from her grieving and shocked loved ones, sons, daughters, family members? Don't you think there would have been a huge nationwide manhunt for the suspects involved with her picture, the victim, and their pictures, the perpetrators plastered all over the print and TV news as hate criminals who had to be brought to justice. But you see no photos and hear from none of the relatives of this suffering woman. You don't know her name. You're not even allowed to know her name. Why? It's because if you see photos of her with her family and friends, or if you hear interviews of grief from her loved ones, she and her victimization become more real and more personal. You may well realize that she could just as easily have been your own mother or wife or sister. You see the difference, ladies and gentlemen, between the way the media treats a white victim of non-white racial hate as compared to a white person who simply defends our heritage? My God, can you not see how they are programming us, how they are leading us in Europe and America and around the European world to utter disaster? David Duke is branded a terrible hate criminal for nonviolently and courageously warning us of exactly what soon after transpired in France. A black race hate filled mob sets fire to a crippled, handicapped white woman, and not a single person in the establishment press or government calls this heinous act a racial hate crime. What does it take to wake you up, European and American brethren? Does it take your own wife or mother to be burned alive for you to see what's happening? Read DavidDuke.com and find your way once more to your heritage and to your freedom. From the staff of European American Unity and Rights Organization. Thank you very much for those words, and so true, ladies and gentlemen, so true. We are literally facing just an incredible situation, and the media doesn't even tell us the truth about it. In fact, if you watch the media on television in America, they continually describe the rioters as, quote, youths. Not African youths, not non-white youths, not even Muslim youths, but just youths. And they continually show very rare footage of some communist demonstrator, some white communist, throwing a firebomb, even though every report shows that the rioters, the people committing this mayhem, are overwhelmingly non-European. Ladies and gentlemen, these people are not Europeans, and they will never be Europeans. I can respect them a lot more in their own country. I can't respect them coming here to escape the bad conditions of their own countries and then burning vehicles, burning innocent women. And she's not the only victim. There have been a number of cases. There was a man and his wife and child who went out for a stroll, and they were attacked, and he was beaten to death. Another man who was beaten recently. And the media universally is covering up these crimes. Everybody in the world, even in Europe, knows the name of James Byrd. That was the black ex-con who was dragged to death by two white ex-cons in a conflict in Jasper, Texas. You've all heard of that. But we're not even allowed to know the name of the white woman who was burned. You've all heard the name of Rosa Parks, who, in fact, was an activist, but she got, you know, long before she got in the bus, she did it as a political act, and she was not allowed to sit in the front of the bus, of course, in Alabama. But, you know, what comparison do you have between a woman not being allowed to sit in a certain part of the bus as compared to a woman being set on fire? Think about that one, ladies and gentlemen. And think about, you know, whose civil rights are really being violated in the world today, and where we're going right now with our country. If you want to post, go to stormfront.org, the town hall section, or send me an email at davidduke, that's davidduke.com, it's info44@davidduke.com. I have some letters to share with you, and there's a lot of things going on. I have a nice letter from a church group, and says, would you be kind to send me some URLs with a sentence or two about the reference of the Gentile Holocaust of Christians in Russia? You know, I'll be happy to do that. And that's from Anthony, and that's another good example of the complete bias of the media in this country. All of you every day practically hear about the Holocaust. The Holocaust is never, it seems, let alone. Like my old friend in Scotland said once, give it a rest, give it a rest. But they never give it a rest. But you see movies, you see documentaries, you see plays, you see never-ending commentary, you see politicians talking about it. It goes on and on and on all the time. What do you hear in comparison about the greatest mass murder of all time. But they weren't Jews, ladies and gentlemen. They were Christians, just like us. And they were murdered by the millions in the early days and even later in the Soviet Union. And many of their murderers were, in fact, Jewish supremacists. Solzhenitsyn pictures them, and I show that picture in my article on the internet right now of many of the top administrators of the Soviet death camps, and it looks like a bar mitzvah, ladies and gentlemen. There's no memorials, there's no museum in fact, there's not even a name. There's no name. We talk about the gulags, but there's no name for this mass murder of Christians by these Soviet Jewish Bolsheviks. Ladies and gentlemen, we have such a double standard in the world today, it's incredible. Ariel Sharon is the leader of Israel. He is nothing more than a war criminal. And speaking of war criminals, how about George Bush? George Bush goes before the world now with a straight face and says, we don't torture people. The United States doesn't torture people. That's against our morality. Well, Mr. Bush, I hate to say it, but as president, you're responsible for anything that goes on, especially things that go on en masse. And, of course, we have tortured people. The photographs of Abu Ghraib prove that without a doubt. The CIA itself and the United States government and the military has admitted that certain detainees have been murdered in our custody, tortured to death, in fact. We do it all the time. We send detainees to neighboring countries. We outsource a lot of our torture. That's admitted by the federal government. And whether or not you do it in your own basement, of which I think we do as well in terms of some of Eastern Europe, and which was in the article revealed by the Post, or whether you simply send them to another country who your agents torture for you, it's the same difference. Very seldom in the mafia did the boss personally torture the captive, torture the guy. But his henchmen did. It was on his order, on his command. Probably usually not in his own house, somewhere else. It certainly wasn't where he lived. But it was still torture, and he was still responsible for torture. But George Bush is an inveterate, I hate to say it, he's a liar. And he disgraces the American Republic. I grew up as a young man despising communism. I was very, very anti-communist. I was becoming somewhat liberal in my life because I read a lot of things, but I was very anti-communist. And one reason why I had these feelings against communism is because I read the stories and read the reports of the gulags. I read the reports of the mass murder of people, of the torture of people all over the world. My dad, in fact, was in Vietnam during part of the Vietnam War. I was later in Laos working with the State Department, teaching Laotian Army officers over there. And, I heard stories every day of this unbelievable tortures and mass murders of the communists. I remember my father told me about Wei. He was actually at one time working in Wei before it fell, before the Tet Offensive of New Year's. And in that Tet Offensive, he says it was just incredible what happened there. They just murdered practically everybody, man, woman, and child, in the city over that New Year's. And and what's going on right now? I just saw a fantastically powerful and actually disturbing video, which appeared in one of the largest television networks in Italy. And you can get the link for that on stormfront.org, the town hall section, and you have it in an English version, and you can see how the United States, and the evidence seems pretty powerful, has not only been randomly killing civilians and mass killing in terms of what they did in terms of the invasion of Fallujah, but we've also been using illegal chemical weapons. We've been using phosphorus, apparently, as a weapon, a horrendous weapon. And if you use a lot of it, it sets off these incredibly lethal and horrible, torturous clouds that someone cannot inhale. And if it comes in contact with the skin, it burns much the same way that phosphorus burns with water. It doesn't burn when it hits clothes. It burns when it hits liquid or something that's moist. Skin is moist, and it causes a chemical reaction. You might remember your chemistry courses. And this film points a lot of this out. And then it's ironic, of course, we know now our own government in its own $1 billion investigation to try to prove Saddam Hussein guilty of having weapons of mass destruction. The same investigation proved that he had no weapons of mass destruction, that he had no chemical weapons in Iraq. And now the evidence comes forth that the United States of America is employing chemical weapons, weapons of mass destruction, horrible weapons that kill indiscriminately, whether it be man, woman, or child. Ladies and gentlemen, look, please don't accuse me of being unpatriotic by talking about this. I'm talking about this because I am patriotic. I love this country. And as I said, the reason why I hated communism so much because of what it was involved in. You know, I was so proud of the fact as an American, as an American young man, because I believed, and I realized that there were always exceptions and there were cases where the United States did involve itself in torture, such as in the Nuremberg trials. There's a lot of evidence of that. But again, most Americans found it abhorrent and spoke out against it, including American military men and leaders. And even one of the greatest and most fiercest leader we ever had was in the military was George Patton, one of the greatest commanders and one of the hardest guys that you can imagine. But he himself spoke out against torture and mistreatment of prisoners and even in the so-called war crimes trials. He said, this is victor's justice and it's not true justice. But ladies and gentlemen, you know, I always believed in America, and to think that America now would be engaging in this, and even more so, beyond all this, the betrayal of our own men and women in uniform, the fact that our government would endorse this kind of behavior puts a stain on them, and of course our government has thrown them into combat, a stain which they don't deserve, because I don't think the average American military person, you know, would do that. But the average American military person is loyal to his country and follows orders of his commanders and of his president. And he does what, you know, he does his duty the best. He shouldn't be blamed for this. But the authorities, these little evil, beady-eyed, sallow men like Richard Pearl and Paul Wolfowitz and Douglas Feith and that shady-eyed Mr. Scooter Libby and the rest of these men who are controlling and dominating our foreign policy and creating these incredibly evil and illegal kinds of policies, these men are damaging the United States of America. They put us into a war which is not our war. They put us into a war which is not in the American interest. They put us in a war for Israel. And by doing so, they betrayed the trust and the goodwill of every American out there. So I urge you to watch that video. It's from an Italian news team, and I think you're going to find it very, very fascinating and important. You can see it on stormfront.org, the town hall section. There is a link, and I would suggest that you go to it as soon as you can. Take a look at it, and if you want to, make a comment. Again, we have a huge audience on this broadcast, a huge audience. And we've had already a million views on our thread, so make a comment and other people can see them as well. This is a little post by Wolfskowitz. He says, Wolfskowitz. That's an insult to call you Wolfowitz. Here's an excellent post a friend of mine stated on another forum describing the Jews and their history. Yeah, it goes on. It's a pretty long post, and I don't think I've got time to deal with that right now. But you can read that again on stormfront.org, the town hall section. Somebody mentioned the fact that somebody took some of my writings and posted it straight up on a number of threads, and he said I wonder if it's wise to cut and paste Duke material like that. People link Duke to the image of the media built for him, which is not a good one. The ideas expressed in Duke's writing maybe go down better if they're seen to come from us. Well, let me tell you something. I think you should do it both ways. You should always definitely put the links in. I think you should absolutely do it both ways. I think that the truth is that my notoriety helps a lot of people read it who would not even know anything about it. Makes it interesting to people rather than just one more anonymous post from an anonymous person. At least if they say David Duke, there's going to be a lot of people out there going to say, man, I want to read that. Now, sometimes your posts will be kicked off the forums, And sometimes you got to be clever. Sometimes you can make a post and just criticize me, but put a link and say, look how terrible this guy is. He says that the neocons are Jewish supremacists. He says Israel's a Jewish state. He says Israel, you know, won't even allow the marriage of a Jew and a non-Jew, just like many southern states didn't allow the marriage of a white and a black. So if the South was so condemned and is so condemned by the media, why isn't Israel? This can't be true, can it? This is what Duke says. We should definitely refute what he says. Things like that. There's all sorts of ways that you can be clever and intelligent. We are in a war, and I believe it's very vital that we tell the truth, but it's also important that we try to get people with good advertising and good techniques to investigate what we're doing and give them something to chew on, so to speak. And I think that we really do that. I appreciate the individual who formatted my most recent article, and I do hope as well that we continue to work hard. Also, I wanted to tell you about the picture that's up. Dave Cooper, by the way, is the individual who do that. The picture is a picture of myself in Sweden with a very fine and honorable man, Klaus Menzel. And he was the NPD deputy parliamentarian in Saxony, which was formerly East Germany, which is now, of course, part of Greater Germany today. And a very, very fine man, and I really enjoyed meeting him and spending some time with him in Sweden. He was one of the speakers at the meeting where we all spoke. I can't stand the way the media is always lying about everything. I mean, the articles that I read said it was a meeting of neo-Nazis. It wasn't indeed. I can't tell you there was anybody there who had different opinions about the war, but I don't think there's hardly any neo-Nazis as such, you know, left. I mean, I think there's a lot of people who have different opinions and different ideas about that period of time, but that's not what the meeting was about. It was really about Swedes who were trying to preserve their heritage, and it wasn't about resurrecting a particular system or a particular ideology on the earth, except for the fact that we should preserve our heritage and that we need to fight against those who are trying to destroy it. At the same time, it's not politically correct, and we allow people at these meetings of any political persuasion if they want to defend the European people and European heritage. I don't think being a, quote, neo-Nazi is an effective way to reach people with our cause. I don't think that it does any good in terms of waking people up. That's just my opinion. People can do what they want, but that's how I see it. And as a person who was associated with a group that's considered very radical, which was a Klan organization, as you know, I think I can speak with a lot of experience that ultimately I don't think that's the way that we're going to win this battle. I think we've got to talk about the issues that are critical for our people. I want to talk about all the issues, not only the race question, but also the Jewish supremacist issue. But I want to do it in a way that doesn't alienate people from our cause, but do it in a way that will recruit the great middle class that we need. We need people, in addition to students that can go out in the street with a picket sign, we also need some of those scientists and some of those educators and some of those businessmen and the others to really form a true mass movement. I do believe the consensus is changing. I think what's happening in France and Europe right now is having a tremendous effect on our people. Even the media continues to lie about it and tries to twist the whole meeting and again blame white racism for what's happening there. Let me tell you something. As Lincoln said, a man I don't admire much, but one thing he said which was so true is you can fool some of the people some of the time, but you can't fool all the people all the time. And people are indeed waking up. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's been great to be with you today. And I certainly do look forward to being with you tomorrow. And until then, I just want to tell you that use your fingers on the keyboard right now. This show is almost over. It will be archived and available, by the way, almost immediately, within 5 or 10 minutes, depending on our computer connection. But use your keyboard and your computer and take some of these articles. A couple of them are small articles, but they're so hard-hitting and so effective, and they reveal the hypocrisy that it will shock a lot of people out there who've never considered our opinions to see the hypocrisy. It's a great article, which is about how that I'm this great hate criminal because I exercise freedom of speech, but this African gang that sets fire to a white woman because of her race, they're not called and labeled hate criminals or racist killers or anything like that. If that doesn't tell you and that doesn't show people the hypocrisy that goes on in the world, then I don't know what I can do to show people. And no one certainly can defend the burning of an old woman. I guess somebody can. I guess some sick white people somewhere can do that. But the people we want to reach will not in any way condone that kind of behavior. But showing the way that media treated this, the fact that we don't even know her name, we hear nothing about her, we see none of her relatives, we see no details, she's gone down the memory hole of the press. If it would have been a black woman, her face would be everywhere, she'd be a heroine, they'd have vigils, there'd be marches in support of her by candlelight to her hospital room. You know this to be true. I know it to be true. And there'd be a huge worldwide campaign to hunt down the beasts who would have tried to set her afire, and who set her afire from a racial motivation. So when we see things like this, is the kind of thing that can shock people to their toes. This is the kind of thing that can make a few people who may be very ironclad for the other side suddenly maybe just have a little glimmer of light. And maybe make a little question or two in their minds, and maybe once they make one small question and try to answer it honestly, to show you this hypocrisy, that may be the beginning of letting the entire roof off of their belief system house, and letting the sunshine and the fresh air in, because that's what we offer. We offer our people light, truth, fresh air, and a new day. And if we don't begin to breathe this fresh air of truth, we will cease to exist as a people. They are driving us right now. They are driving before us right now toward an ethnic cleansing of our lands. We're losing our very heritage. If 6 or 8% of a non-European population can paralyze Europe with this terrible rioting and carnage and destruction and revolution, what happens when they're 16% or 26% or 36% or 46% or God knows 56 or 66 or 76 or 86%? Ladies and gentlemen, that's where we're going. And only a fool or the brain dead cannot see that. So give me a hand. Get some of this material out there. I'm depending on you. And I appreciate everyone with the courage to stand up for this cause. We have to have courage if we're going to win this battle ahead of us. Thanks again, and I will see you tomorrow.
This has been David Duke for our heritage and our freedom.